to Aussie Tech Heads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Aussie Tech Heads. It is episode 476. How are you doing? It's been another hot week. Last week in February, always hot, I reckon. So it's, swimming time, on, shirt off, jump in the pool. Excellent work. All right, we've got a pretty big show this week. We're going to introduce you to the regulars and then a guest for this episode. And first of all, we've got to thank athwebhosting.com.au. If you need some shared web hosting with servers in Australia, why not jump on athwebhosting.com.au and have a look. Look, there is, I hear, there is a rumor, a little bird told me, that there is a new web page for the tech hosting, and it could even be up as soon as you are listening to this. So have a look at that when you get a time, athwebhosting.com.au, and send us your feedback. All right, who have we got here tonight? As usual, I think we can say pretty much is Eric. How you going,
Hello.
Eric? Good.
How are you?
Good. What have you been up to?
Working.
Yeah, good.
Dealing with the heat.
Yeah, it's been hot down in Sydney.
Yeah, 40 degrees.
Oh, yeah, good.
Today.
Good stuff. Lucky you got that heater on the pool.
Yeah, don't need it today.
No. And Shane, how you going, Shane?
Good. You're a bit of a wuss, ain't you, Eric? 140 degree day and you bloody melt. We had a week of it, last week and the week before, and no one cared about us.
Yeah, no, well, no one does. No one ever does. Well, that's fair enough, too.
You're too far away.
We're a bit soft up at the North Shore of Sydney, mate.
You're lucky you're not in Tasmania. Otherwise, you'd just be forgotten altogether.
That's right.
How was that Woolies? They left the map of Tassie off the map of Australia on the hats.
I think they should just sell Tasmania to the Kiwis.
Yeah, that was pretty bad, though. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. All right, and look, we've got a guest tonight, and his name is Stuart, and let's find out a bit about him. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Grant. Thanks for having me on.
That's all right. No problems.
Thanks, Shane. Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, Stuart answered the call I put out a couple of weeks ago. And and here he is. So tell us, Stuart, where are you from? Where are you broadcasting from?
Yeah, I'm broadcasting from Brisbane, so not too far from you.
That's pretty close. And what do you do? Are you in for work? Are you tech orientated or not tech, just interested?
Yeah, no, I'm not in the tech industry, but I seem to use it for work a lot. So I end up doing a bit of web design and things like that, and all the other IT type sort of stuff that happens at work. Yes. Normally I get
lumped with it.
I get lumped with that. So in fact, today I was doing some CNC machining, which was quite interesting.
Mm, I don't even know what that is. What's that?
So it's where you have a computer that controls a machine, and we're using it to drill wood panels, basically, in different patterns.
Oh yeah, right. Okay. Yeah,
but it's cool. All like programming, though. It's basically like a programming thing.
Right. Oh, that sounds too technical.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know someone who works in the IT industry at the moment who's out of work and is happy to move to Brisbane if he needs to.
No worries.
And, so that's good. And I see, for those on the video, we can see that you're into an arcade game. And so funnily enough, I have a story about arcade games tonight. Well, in particular one. But what is that? Is that a 50-in-1 machine, or what happens with that?
Well, that's actually a homemade one that I made about 12 years ago.
Oh, sweet!
And it's just got a normal PC inside it, and it's just got all the old arcade favourites, Lager and Frogger and Donkey Kong and all those sort of ones. And
nice. Yeah, right.
He's not a tech head at all.
No. So is that, how do you run that? Is that a MAME? It's just through the MAMEs?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, nice.
It's just MAME with a front end, and it's even got a proper coin slot that works. You can put coins in it, and it's
that's brilliant.
Fantastic.
Does it works? So you put the coin in, and does it shot the credit?
Yeah, yep, exactly. It works exactly the way it's supposed to.
Oh, excellent.
That is brilliant.
Yes.
I'm extremely impressed. I'm going to bow out now.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So where did you get the cabinets and the controllers, the joysticks and the buttons?
Well, I bought the joystick as like a single finished panel, and then I made the rest of the cabinet to fit the joystick, basically.
Right.
And so I just looked at various photos on the net and sort of guessed guess different dimensions and made a few mock-ups of the ones to try and get the heights right and the angles right and things like that, and then finished it off.
Yeah, right. So when you turn it on, you can just select what game you want to play and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's got like 4,000 games on it or something like that.
It's crazy,
something ridiculous, and yeah.
Oh yeah, well, I wonder how much you sell those for.
Oh look, I went around a mate's place the other day, and he bought this little machine, and it was a 200-in-1, and it, I don't know, maybe about stood 50 centimeters, maybe had the little proper joystick, the proper buttons, yeah. And it was, I think it must have ran on MAME or whatever, and it was great. I had a little game of Galaga and all this, and look, I forget now, you can buy them, and you can buy the bigger ones, you can buy like a, yeah, yeah, like a 2,000 game in one thing, but I think as you get up to the 2,000 games, you start getting, you know, like version A, version B, version C, and just different versions of the same game.
That's right. But
look, I can't remember now where that place was. If I can through the show, I'll tell you. But if not, I'll definitely bring it up next week because it was that so good. I wanted to buy one because I thought I've always loved MAME and I've just only had it on the computer and I've got it around here somewhere. But you just never play it because it's always, you know, it's on the disc, isn't it? Yeah. And so you're into music as well?
Yes, do it. I play in a. In an 80s covers band with some friends.
Nice.
So we aren't that serious, but because it's 80s,
yeah.
I'm not sure whether you can see in the background, but that's actually a guitar.
Oh, nice.
So it's very 80s.
Yeah.
And it's very, the IT aspect of that, though, is that it's all done through MIDI.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
and
cool.
So I know when Eric was talking earlier about how you bought your Surface Pro recently, a few months ago.
Yeah.
Well, I actually got a Surface Pro 3 about a year ago or something, so I've got the previous model, and I got it specifically so I could run all my sounds on the Surface Pro, because the Surface Pro is like a full computer, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's in such a small form that you can mount it on your microphone stand.
Yes.
Mm.
And it's like a tablet, like an iPad, but it runs full Windows software.
Yeah, yeah, nice. So it's, in talking about the Surface, then are you a Windows person or Mac person, like generally?
Yeah. Fairly similar to you, I'd say, Glenn. So I'm so Windows all the way, apart from the iPhone.
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah. But although, you know, I'm Windows all the way. Don't get me wrong. But I do have a little Mac Mini, which I do record the show on for the audio, and I have another. I've just got another MacBook because I'm trying to get a MacBook to run my little TV studio thing, which I got right here. And I tried to use it on my laptop, Lenovo laptop, and it just wouldn't work. But I plugged this into the Mac, into my wife's MacBook Pro, straight away it works. So
yeah, but Macs are made for that
yeah.
sort of stuff.
So I've got to get sorted with that. Oh, that's good. That's great. Thanks, Stuart. So Stuart's brought along a few stories, and he's going to have a bit of a chin wag throughout the show. And
now, your website, sorry to interrupt. I just looked on your website.
Yes.
And you're upgrading your website, Glenn.
Yes, that's what I've just said. Yes.
Yeah, I know that's what you just said, but I didn't realise it would still be down. Oh, 25th.
That's today.
Available soon.
I was going to be up like earlier this afternoon, but I had a problem. I thought I was all ready to go and go, let's go live, because I had it on a development server. So then I had to push it all across to the good one, but I had to, you know, do a lot of mucking around because it was on a different domain and all this sort of stuff. And I had to, and then I was all ready to go, and then it wasn't sending emails. And that just stuffed me for a few hours. And to the point where I eventually just said, well, because it was sending the emails through the SMTP of Google.
Right.
And it's been doing it fine. Oh, well, as far as I know, everyone's been getting emails and nothing, no problems. But as soon as I've moved it, it's same domain, different server and different look and everything, and an upgraded the version of the back end. And it just stopped working. It just didn't work. So I just went back to the PHP mailer. Worked straight away, but that was like 7:20 tonight. So I just haven't got to the stage of putting it all, flicking the switch, making sure it's all right, and then flicking the switch.
Maybe you could go live tonight while we're on live.
No.
See if it crashes. Do a live test.
Too much of a headache. You'll like it.
Then we can all hit it at once and see if you can handle the load.
Oh, I'm DDoS protected. Don't worry.
We'll work it out.
I'll tell you who's not DDoS protected. That's Dick Smith, because they're gone. You would have, as you know, throughout the last couple of months, they've gone to receivership and administration or whatever. Now they've shut. They're going to shut down over the next coming months. 301 stores.
Yeah,
gone.
Look, they're obviously asking for too much. from what I read, it's just they said they didn't get any acceptable offers. That to me means they were asking for quite a bit of money because it was quite a big investment.
When they look for money, these receivers, do they look for money just to buy the stock and the assets and to pay the staff and the bills, or do they look for more to try and make a profit?
Stuart would probably know about this as well. That they, if someone's going to buy the business, you wouldn't buy it just to shut it down,
right?
Because you're not going to fork out $10 million or whatever it is and just go right. I'll just get all the stock and then pay out all the staff and that's it. No, the stock wouldn't be worth we'd be worth nothing anyway. They'd buy it to try and buy it to see if they can revive it. That's the only reason you'd put that sort of cash into it.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shame because, you know, Dick Smith, an Aussie icon. Not that he owned it for the last 20 years or so, but he started it in 1968 or somewhere around there, I think.
Sold it in 86 or something.
Yeah, something like that. And, 2,460 jobs are going to go.
That'll be at JB Hi-Fi next week.
Yeah, 301 stores in Australia and 62 outlets in New Zealand.
In New Zealand,
He went over across the Tasman. He did all that bit. All right. Let's get Stuart up straight up for a story, eh? What have you got? What interested you this week, Stuart?
Well, I got something different, and I hope that I don't turn this into Aussie Toy Head, but Mattel is bringing out their own 3D printer, and it just seems like everyone is bringing out a 3D printer at the moment. I saw only a couple of weeks ago, I think, Aldi is bringing in a 3D printer.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah.
But Mattel is doing one. They're basing it on an old toy from the 60s, apparently. It wasn't anything that I knew of called Thingmaker. And so they're calling this the new Thingmaker 3D printer.
Right.
And it's a kind original. Of a funky-looking, microwave-looking sort of device. It's only $2.99, which is pretty amazing for a 3D printer. And it's something where you have an iPad app, and you can design the various parts of a toy and the different colors and textures that you use for these parts.
Yeah.
And you send that to the printer, and it goes away and prints it.
Yeah, they're amazing, aren't they? They're totally amazing. Have you got one, Stuart?
No, I don't. They sound very cool, but I just can't think of anything that I really want to use it for. That's the problem.
Yes.
No, I agree. What can I possibly make?
I think as time goes by, I think there already are sites out there now, isn't there? And you're already pirating, you're able to pirate designs and all this sort of stuff. So I suppose.
Well, this is it. So if you want to build something, for example, if you want to build another arcade game, Stuart, you might be able to 3D print it on this occasion.
Probably print a joystick or something. Say in a fit of rage after losing at Galaga, he snaps it off.
Yeah, it might take 2 weeks to print it, though. That's the problem.
That's right. Well, the Mattel one probably would,
actually, that was saying, because I saw a YouTube video where they explained the whole thing, and they had this fairly sort of simple toy, like an action figure, and when they pressed print, it said it would take 10 hours to print this toy, you know, which sounds too long for a kid to have to wait 10
hours. Is it ready yet?
Call me on Friday.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, but look, I think Aldi did have those 3D printers a couple of weeks ago. Saw it advertised. Yeah, I never saw one. I think it was only about $3.99 or something. I think we spoke about 3D printers a few weeks ago, and I was amazed to see when we were talking about then that you could also make things out of chocolate. You just fed the chocolate in, and it just...
Yeah, I saw that. That was a Kickstarter, wasn't it, that one?
It could have been, yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I know. And made a little chocolate coffee cup. That's amazing. That's great. That's good stuff. All right, Shano.
Hello.
Hello. What are you up to? What did you bring us this week?
I've put in a few stories, and I think I'll probably start with the Apple thing. Because that continues to kind of roll on. The Apple and FBI fight.
Oh, yeah. What's going on
now? Oh, God.
Apple reported to argue code should be protected as free speech in FBI fight. Apple is currently developing a legal response to the government request it assist with unblocking the iPhone involved with the San Bernardino shooting. The response is going to rely on two arguments.
The demand, the first argument is that the demand oversteps the powers granted to the government under the All Writs Act. And then the second argument, which is, you know, in my opinion, a little bit kind of, you know, stretching the friendship or stretching the truth, that code is a form of freedom of speech, which is protected under the First Amendment.
Is this from Apple?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Apple will try to argue that someone cannot be forced to write an article under the freedom of speech, which is apparently, you know, already been kind of proven, and there's been already court cases.
Gee, I tell you what, he's skating on thin ice with that comparison there.
Yeah, and then, yeah, it goes on to sort of say that code is a form of writing, so therefore should be covered under the same sort of freedom of speech kind of argument.
Mm.
But yeah, a bit thin.
Bit thin.
Well, yes.
Put on your cookie monster. What else you got?
Well, in staying with that theme, John McAfee stuck his head out of the sand,
out of his bunker,
out of the bunker again, and look, he's all gung ho. He said that his team is some of the best hackers on the planet who have talents that defy normal human comprehension, could use social engineering to crack the code in 3 weeks. He wants to he wants to come out and crack the code for the FBI. He will, and says, I will, free of charge, decrypt the information on the San Bernardino phone with my team so that Apple doesn't have to place a backdoor on its product, he said.
Look, he's a pretty crazy dude, this bloke. He's just off the planet. But I sort of tend to believe him. Only because Apple is just one big marketing public relations machine who can't be trusted these days to tell the truth.
Well, he might just be trying to get his own face on the telly.
Oh, not only that, he probably wants to do a deal with the FBI so they don't arrest him.
Probably didn't he? Wasn't he running for president or something?
No, he was running from the law.
Yeah, but then he wanted to run for president.
Yeah, he's just run to the asylum, I think. He's a bit crazy.
But this next part here, listen to this. Yeah, I reckon he's done it just to get his head on the telly. He says, I would eat my shoe on the Neil Cavuto show if we could not break the encryption on the phone. He also...
Well, I'd take him up. I'd call his bluff and say, right, let's go, mate.
I want to see him eat that dirty shoe he wears.
No, I want to see him crack the code so make Apple get egg on their face.
Well, if he did crack that's probably a bad twist for Apple. That wouldn't be what Tim would want, would it?
No. Cookie Monster wants all the publicity in the right direction.
No, but I mean, like, Tim Cook and Apple would want to be... they want to be secure. If McAfee cracks the code, then the phone's not secure. And then there's just going to be it's going to be a PR disaster. The phone's not secure.
Or it might get Apple to create a better product.
Yeah, but he's going to do it through social engineering, not through any of Apple's back doors or whatever.
I believe him.
He said... Believe him. Yeah?
I was going to say, do we all kind of think that what Will was saying last week is the case where the FBI has already got what they want?
No, I think Will might have... Will, good afternoon, good evening, hope you're listening. I think Will might have had his tinfoil hat on last week.
McAfee also criticised the FBI for not being able to crack the phone on its own, despite its resources. He said that the best hackers in the world don't work for the Bureau because the FBI will not hire anyone with a 24-inch purple mohawk, 10-gauge ear piercings, and a tattooed face who demands to smoke weed while working and won't work for less than $500,000 a year.
That's true. All the black hats don't work for the FBI. Shorten would probably know that.
No.
All the black hats are all underground.
Yeah, well, there's probably more money in it, isn't there?
There is more money in it. You get hired by, shadow governments to crack things and steal things or, work on their own security to see if their security's impenetrable.
Yeah, but old McAfee, he's funny. Again, I think we've mentioned it before, but go on YouTube and have a look at some of his videos.
Oh, yeah, he's off the planet. He's crazy. Definitely out of his mind.
It's crazy.
I believe him.
Yeah, sorry, Stuart.
Yeah, I thought really it'd be great to get McAfee together with Donald Trump, and if they could join up and do like some sort of buddy movie or something like that, would be unbelievable.
That would be quite funny.
Like, like Talladega Nights or something like that.
Yes, that would be good. You could just see them just going, I don't know, having a weekend in Las Vegas, couldn't you? Just
see Dumb and Dumber. If you know the Dumb and Dumber.
They both have their guns, swindling their guns around.
Dumb and Dumber 3, the president.
All right. Eric, what have you thought about this week?
Well, I don't know if I brought this up last week, but Tesla have brought out a car for the kids who have everything.
Right. So what for kids?
Yeah. Tesla Model S for kids, it's called. Google it, you'll see it.
Yep.
Tesla Model has joined forces with toy maker Radio Flyer, the same company behind the iconic little red wagon, to build a Tesla Model S for kids.
Right.
And it keeps going about the battery technology and whatnot. But go and have a look at the photo on that website. Did I put the link there?
Is that the Model? That's not Model S. It comes up with Model. Yeah, Model S.
Model S for kids.
That's not for kids.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm looking at Model S. It's a ANCAP 5-star safety rating autopilot with auto steer.
Yeah, I'll put the link in the show notes. You just click on that. It's $700. And it goes at 6 miles an hour. It's got a boot. Yeah, yeah. You can plug your iPod or iPhone into it. And off you go.
Right. Here we go. That's better. They got two Model S's. That's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, one's for kids and one's for the normal. Mm. So is that a nice looking toy or what?
That's pretty nice.
But the problem is that you get beaten up for driving that.
Yes. Not if you're in a neighbourhood where they've all got one.
Yeah, but they don't look like a bad little car. Steering wheel sticking out the top there is nice.
Yeah.
Better than the little go-kart I had when I was a kid.
Oh, I know. When I was a kid, I had to build my own go-kart with ball bearings and bits of wood.
Had to steer it with the rope. And
Yeah, that's right. Even when you come off, there's no helmet.
Yeah.
There's no knee pads.
But that's all right for 700.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. I wonder if it's got a Tesla battery in it. Where's the solar panels?
Tesla battery in the back.
Yeah, where's the solar panels?
It's in the front. The boot can fit two, a soccer ball and a football.
Yeah, nice. Good.
It goes at 10 kilometres an hour.
Yeah, right. Good stuff. So would you buy one of them for your kids? Oh, you got girls. So
kids would be too old. Oh, no, I showed my oldest. She's 17. Yeah. And she said, get me one of those.
Yeah, right.
I said, you wouldn't fit in it, love. Look, I think you're the maximum. You'd probably only fit an 8-year-old in this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it is a bit small.
It is a bit small, yeah. They should make one that's golf cart size.
It's $500 US, $696 Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Wow.
It's not too bad, really, for that. It looks pretty decent.
Yeah.
I think the quality would be pretty good.
Yeah. Look, Harvey Norman, they've been going around the news and Reddit again this week. A Reddit post showed that up until Friday, Harvey Norman was selling the Microsoft Sculpt Touch mouse for $68.
What?
Oh, yeah.
$20 at Officeworks,
that's right. So, obviously, the Reddit guys, they were up in arms going, Harvey Norman, blah, blah,
Harvey
blah.
Norman, you've got Harvey Norman in Brisbane, haven't you, Stuart?
Yeah, but...
There used to be.
No one goes there.
My nearest one closed down ages ago, and I haven't been to one since, so, yeah.
Well, now you know why.
Yeah.
Well, we've had one just open up not too far. I can count three in about 30K.
I can count how many I've got. One down in Gordon, one at Hornsby. Yeah, I can count two. Three. Yeah. Three.
Well, I know there's...
about a 10-kilometre radius.
I know there's one at Bundle, there's one at Burley, and there's one at South Tweed. So that's
they are more expensive. Their technologies anyway. They seem to be more expensive than for the same thing everywhere else. But they run on a weird business model, Harvey Norman. Because they're all franchises, right? When I heard that Harvey Norman was a franchise, I thought, it's a franchise. But what I didn't realize is it's not the stores are franchised. It's the departments within the stores that are franchised.
Yeah, that's right.
So the furniture guys are their own business. And they have nothing to do with the bedding guys next door or the flooring guys or the homewares guys or the technology guys or the kitchenware or, white goods or anything like that. He's thinking, just say you were short-staffed in white goods. You couldn't just say, look, can you cover for me? I've just got to go out and go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, right.
And go, no, I can't because you don't pay me. So I'm going to sit here, do nothing, and let your department be empty.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, yeah, I know that British trains, although, and it's probably, this is probably the same across the board for a lot of these places, but, you know, they used to have these sales, you know, it's cost plus a dollar or something like this. And then I sort of, you know, I found out that whatever, that it's cost, like Jerry still makes his money, and then it's cost like to the floor. Plus yeah. plus a dollar yeah,
the,
or whatever.
It's the yeah whatever it costs to get it on the floor.
Yeah, so probably
so Jerry's got his money because they buy from him.
That's maybe. Right. Yeah, and maybe
it's the poor franchise owner that's getting yeah. ripped.
And maybe like cost plus a dollar. Obviously, you're not going to make any money, so Jerry might subsidise a bit, push back.
Yeah, he might. He might just lower those, advertising.
Yeah,
commission or something for the month.
But anyway, yeah, so $20 at Officeworks. This mouse. Rival JB Hi-Fi sold it for $49. Now, 17 hours after Reddit was a lit, there was a post which received about 1,000 upvotes. Harvey Norman changed its price to $48, which is $1 less than JB Hi-Fi. Now, Microsoft advertises the product as a recommended retail price of $59.95. Now, the spokesman, this is crazy as well, I reckon. The spokesman for Harvey Norman added that they had not received the price dropped memo.
Rubbish.
Of course it's rubbish. Like, they've already bought the stock at a certain price. They don't get told what to sell it for. Like, do that. That ain't...
No, they would.
It's not
they'd,
petrol.
No, that would it'd be an internal decision by whoever in that particular store, the guy that's running that tech thing. I wonder, though, this question, if it's Harvey... Is it Harvey Norman across the board that's selling it at that price? So everywhere in the country. If that's the case, then that's a directive from head office to sell it at that price.
Yeah, I can
if
get...
They're all different prices. It means the franchise owners are setting their own prices.
Well, as this story was written, it said the spokesman, which you would assume the spokesman from Harvey Norman,
yeah.
So Harvey Norman as a whole, as a group, the spokesman added that Harvey Norman had not received the price drop. I don't know. Nah. But as soon as we were made aware, we immediately contacted the supplier and got the updated info.
No, That's just jargon speak, rubbish.
They
would have bought those for if Officeworks are selling with $20, they're still making 100%. Harvey Norman's bought them for the same price of $10.
Well, I read somewhere that the Officeworks they might have been a loss leader for Officeworks. I reckon. Look, you go
okay,
to you.
Let's say they bought it for $20.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Yeah. So I googled my old mates down at UMart. You'd have UMart up there, Stuart, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Milton or somewhere? Head office
or
somewhere?
This week.
Yeah, good stuff. Yep. Now, UMart, you can go to letterumart.com.au. I think they'll post, probably as post, a mouse Australia-wide. Now, you get on the internet and you order one, and it's $32. Now, from what I've found, that's $32, and their prices are pretty close to probably where the cheapest you'll get it.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, the retail price $42, which to me means that the cost is about $20, and so you're right. JB Officeworks it's probably a loss leader. $20, they're selling it at cost, So selling it at $42 makes sense.
Yeah.
But Harvey Norman's decided to add another 50% on top of that.
I love it. Someone's got to pay that washing machine guy that they stole for 5 hours last week.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Shane, any comments on that? You have UMart over there in Perth?
Yeah, we our weekend kind of trading rules are a bit weird when it comes to the rest of the country and the rest of the world and the rest of the galaxy, really. but they're better than what they were a couple of years ago. But the fact that the departments are actually treated as different franchises, we had I don't know if it's still the case, but we had a rule a few years ago that only companies with less than 15 staff or something were allowed to trade on a Sunday. So big kind of, big departments and all that kind of stuff couldn't do that. And Harvey Norman were able to get around the issue because of how they structured it. The fact that each department is its own franchise.
They argued that each individual department was actually an individual business.
But, yeah.
Yeah, and it had less than the 15 staff or whatever the cutoff was. So they could trade on the Sunday, but all their competitors couldn't because they were the biggest store.
That would have been jumping up an arm.
Mm.
Yeah, so people like Retrovision couldn't trade on Sundays. And
so what's the story now?
I think it's better. I think it's kind of anyone can do whatever they want. But it's still restricted hours in that it's not like I think you guys have it from like 9 until 9 kind of thing every day of the week. We're not like that. We've still got restricted hours, especially on the weekends. But I believe
it's really bizarre that they restrict the hours of opening. If someone wants to pay open as long as they want, they're the ones paying the electricity bill and the staff. It's their risk that they're taking. Why would you stop them? I don't understand that.
Because our small business kind of groups over here have probably got a bit of clout.
They're right. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so they're jumping up and down saying it's unfair and, you know, we can't survive and we're going broke and...
Oh, broke because you're hopeless.
Yes. All right, well, Shane, you better tell us about Facebook, I think.
Yeah, okay, I can do that. Facebook rolls out reactions for when like isn't enough. Facebook has finally launched its new reactions feature across the globe, including Australia. Facebook will now let you react in a post with a love, haha, wow, sad, or angry emoticon. And a move, it says, is designed for situations where a mere like may not be appropriate, which got David Kosh in trouble this morning.
What did he do? What happened to him?
I'll finish this point off, then I'll circle back to it.
All right.
The expanded reactions feature had been tested in several markets, including Spain and Ireland, last October, and is now rolling out globally. They were talking about it this morning on Sunrise.
Yeah.
And it was like just one of those minute kind of stories where they have like the panel of people. They had Kylie Gillies.
All the knowledgeable tech experts. Yep, I know the one.
Yeah, and two others. And completely innocently, David Kosh sort of said, oh, you know, you wouldn't want to say, if someone posted something about going to a funeral, you wouldn't want to say, oh, well, yeah, like that comment because, you know, funerals aren't kind of something you would kind of necessarily like. And Kylie Gillies kind of just didn't say anything for a few seconds.
Yeah.
And David sort of made some sort of comment about how she was, you know, either not with it or something along those lines. And then Kylie said, no, I actually just went to a funeral the other day. And she kind of got a bit upset over it. Like I said, completely innocent. David, you know, could have picked any...
That's all right.
I don't understand. What's she getting sensitive because he used a funeral as an example?
And obviously, it reminded her of... I mean, it could have been a family member or something.
She better not go listen to Rodney Rood.
You're professional. You're on TV. Get a grip of yourself.
Yeah, like, I don't... Look, you can't... Yeah, okay, you can get a little bit emotional over what someone says, but because if you've got a personal attachment to that in the near history. But he can't be getting in trouble for that sort of rubbish.
There's still the one thing that Facebook is missing is they've got to put a thumbs down or a dislike button. Well, what's this other stuff? Wow, it's all politically correct. Don't put anything up there that's going to be too upsetting. You know, anger, okay, borderline, wow, you know. Give me a dislike button. If someone posts something that's idiotic, I'm going to push the thumbs down. Simple as. What they do on YouTube. If you don't like it, bang.
I've been pushing the love heart for Donald Trump.
No, you're the one. The
XOXO.
All right. Okay. Eric, have you got something else?
Oh, let me see.
What have you been doing? You've been doing a lot of pasting.
That's right about it. That's about the size of it. I'm just trying to find my page. There's so many.
Well, you find that, and I'll go and talk about something else. I'm going to go and talk. I'll kick you off with the. I'm going to kick off with the Apple because a couple of weeks ago, remember the problem with the button? You go and get it repaired from a third party.
Error 53,
that's the one. And then the phone would brick and no one would want to help you out. Apple would said, nope, you've taken it, it's been unauthorized, opened, it's done this, done that, you've got an unauthorized button in it. Phone's bricked.
Unauthorized repair, yep.
You're gone. Buy another one. So anyway, they've sort of come out with a bit of a change of heart. Maybe you could call it a change of heart, or maybe, if you believe the story, this was a mistake from the start. Apple said that the error 53 was intended as a factory security test and should not have been seen by humanity.
That's rubbish, because they're basically admitting that their processes and their procedures have got terrible quality control and that slipped through the cracks.
Maybe.
That's rubbish.
Apple said the test was...
This is the problem with Apple under Cookie Monster. They tell one lie to cover up the last one. So they're constantly lying.
Apple said the test was designed to check whether Touch ID worked properly before the device leaves the factory. What, do they go around pushing each one? How does that work? We apologise for any inconvenience. This was designed to be a factory test and was not intended to affect customers. Now, they also said that Apple said affected users who update their phone via iTunes should now be able to restore their devices. However, the fingerprint scanner will not work if you've got a third-party one in.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough.
Yeah, Touch ID, which stores fingerprints on the secure Enclave co-processor on iPhones, won't be restored by the update, as it would be a security risk. Now, also, the other good thing is it means that if you've had your phone repaired at an unauthorized shop, you need to contact Apple to get the home button replaced. Otherwise, as I said, it won't function. Customers who have paid for out-of-warranty replacements of devices because of the error 53 should contact Apple Care for reimbursement, the company had said. Apple said. So that's all right. I heard.
So they're going to fix it or not?
Yeah. It's fixed right in the update, the latest iOS update.
All right. Well, like, I think they're just full of it.
You plug it in your thing, all that'll happen is your scanner won't work, but everything else will. But I heard a disturbing story the other day. Someone rang me up and said, do I fix Macs? I went, no, they just wanted RAM put in. I said, no, I don't know, I'm not doing
starting
that.
Starting in what?
They wanted RAM. They wanted some RAM put into their Mac.
Right.
And I said, no, I don't want to do that.
And what was their question? They wanted to, did they ring Apple?
Yeah, I said, have you tried Apple? And they said, no, they won't touch it because it's out of warranty.
I mean, that's rubbish.
Oh, so that's a bit harsh.
That's rubbish. They will touch it. I've been there before and I say, mate, I want RAM put in this. And they say, do you sell it? Say, what's the price? All right, happy with the price. And they charge you a service fee for doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I thought, I don't know if that was right or not. Maybe they had.
Maybe you just got the wrong genius.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, so.
Do it yourself anyway. You just go to maxsales.com.
Very simple. What have you got, Stuart? iPhone 6S?
6S Plus.
Oh, the big one. Right.
Big one. Yeah,
Your eyesight is also failing like mine.
Exactly. It's got its pluses and minuses, doesn't it? You know, having the big phone, it's great having the big screen, but it's a bit hard to put in the pocket.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Did you come from a 6 or did you miss the 6? Yeah.
No, I came from a six plus to the 6S plus, yeah. But yeah. I found actually that it's now so fast to unlock the phone with the fingerprint. It's actually too fast because if you just want to see what the notifications on the lock screen are, it actually unlocks too quickly and you can't read it.
Yeah, it reads your thumb that quickly. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Press it with your pinky.
That's a good point, yeah.
Or with your nose. Now, yeah, you got some iPhone 7 rumors, Eric.
Apparently, I have.
But what's
the next generation iPhone is expected to be released towards the end of the year. I thought it was going to be released in September, like it always is, but apparently not. Apple fans are eagerly Apple fanboys are eagerly awaiting the arrival of the iPhone 7. And speculation is rife as to the new features the device will provide. Among the rumoured features is the completely waterproof handset. I think that might be a bit of a me too, because didn't Samsung just come out with a waterproof handset this week?
Oh, did they? Oh. Yeah.
So it might be a bit of a me too. Maybe that's why they're delaying it to the end of the year. Because they've come out and gone, oh, we can't release it in September now. We've got to make ours waterproof as well, damn it. Yeah. That adds 3 months.
Yeah, well, yep.
So wireless charging. Well, okay, sure. Dual camera and improved battery life.
Dual camera?
I thought they had a dual camera now.
Yeah.
Front and back. Is that what they mean? Or two at the back?
Two at the back.
I don't know.
What's that for?
What's a dual camera at the back for? What would you need that for?
3D maybe?
Oh, yeah, possibly.
Maybe. Possibly. All right.
Now, the rumor about not having a headphone jack is unlikely, according to this story.
Oh, what, the rumour is unlikely to be true?
Yeah, the rumour that it won't have a headphone jack is likely to be untrue.
So it will have a headphone jack.
So it'll still have a headphone jack, basically.
Yep.
Expected to be slimmer with an edge-to-edge screen, which I thought they've already got, pretty much. Yeah. Maybe they're going to take up the top half a bit more.
Yeah, okay.
What else have they got? I think they should improve their software. The look. I'm getting sick of the look. What do you think? Boys, comments?
doesn't really bother me too much.
It doesn't bother me too much, but I've found that the last few generations haven't really changed a lot in the iPhone, have they? I think as the years have gone on, it's not really such a big deal anymore when a new iPhone comes out.
No, it's not. There's less buzz, I suppose. The screens are nicer. The Retina screens are nicer, obviously, than the original iPhone, which was if you put the two together, ridiculous. It's massive difference.
Look, I'd probably,
but at the time, it was good.
I'd probably like to see, if anything, if I had to think of something, like maybe animated icons.
You know what I would like to see something different. I'd like to see a microphone jack, an audio out and an audio in. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, because you can put audio in, but you can only use it one at a time, obviously, can't you?
Yeah, I want two next to each other.
Where are
they? So I can put a mic in and a headphone jack at the same time.
I got a lapel mic for the iPhone the other day.
Does it work? Is it Bluetooth?
No, you stick it up the headphone jack.
And really?
Yes. Apparently it works. It's from... Where's it from? Rode. Is it R-H-O-D-E or something? That's a pretty good one, but I haven't tested it out.
I think I'd like two, so that way you've got full control over the in and out.
Yeah, I think.
Audio out.
I think you need two. I think you need two as well. Getting back to video games, because I do want to get this story in and don't leave it on the scrap heap. But yeah, so Mortal Kombat. Stuart, you got Mortal Kombat?
Yes, probably. Yes, that's on the arcade cabinet, yep.
All right, way to go. Now, this particular story revolves around Mortal Kombat, and I'll tell you why. I'll just get a picture up for the videos. Now, through a series of button inputs, a player has found previously undiscovered menus that lay dormant in the arcade version of Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3. That might be it starting up. Stuart's rushed over, turned it on, put the coin in. Wants to see it going on. Now, the newly discovered menu were personally programmed by MK for the Mortal Kombat creator Ed J. Boone and display as EJB menu after the initials. So it's all going on. Now, the Mortal Kombat 1 and Mortal Kombat 2 menus allow you to watch various character endings, input initials directly into the leaderboard, run a debug and diagnostic test on the game cabinet, and do something called coin bookkeeping. There's also a hello option, which your machine speculates is simply a list of people Ed Boon wanted to give a shout out to. That's fair enough, I suppose. So, fittingly enough, the blah, blah, blah. So, how's that go? That's all right. I've never liked Mortal Kombat, to be honest. I don't know. Have you played that one, Stuart?
Yeah, it was... of course, back in the day, it was very controversial with all the fatalities that they had. It was pretty graphic violence for that time.
Well, I must be thinking of something else.
You could rip out people's spinal cords and things like that. That's good. It was all blood everywhere.
Harmful fun. That's harmless fun. Come on.
Yeah, well, that's all right. And apparently it had some sort of, I'll find the part in the story here. Where does it say? Menus considerably and includes an option to immediately unlock hidden characters. It also allows you to watch every fatality. There you go, ripping a spinal cord out. Yep. A demonstration normally reserved for players who have beaten the game on master difficulty. Well, there you go. The little bonus. I wonder what happens at the end of the games. There's also something called Pinacho Miller Game, which fires up an impossibly difficult Galaga clone. How good's that? Right, way to go. That's what you'll be doing after the show, Stuart. You'll be wasting all your 20s looking for the menu. They didn't say what the button pushes were. I suppose someone's going to put that out on their blog and make $1 billion, billion hits. Yeah. All right. Who wants to have a go? What are you up to, Stuart? You have another go.
Yeah, well, seeing as we're talking about games and so on, we all know the well-known board game Monopoly, it's probably the board game that we all love to hate, to be honest.
Can go for a week if you let it.
Did you see that tweet that came out about 2 years ago, and this tweet went viral, and it was saying that we've all been playing Monopoly wrong all these years?
No. So
it really shouldn't go on as long as what we're all playing for, because everyone's been playing the wrong rules all this time.
No, I don't think that's
true. How long did they say we should be playing it for?
Well, the whole thing was that, you know, if someone lands on a property and they don't want to buy it for some reason.
Yeah.
Someone else can buy it.
Well, yeah, well, it goes, the bank auctions it off.
Yes.
And it goes to anyone. And
yes.
That's how we play it on the Xbox.
On the Xbox, yeah. Well, apparently in this story, that was the thing that they were saying that everyone was sort of doing wrong. And,
right.
and certainly other people I've spoken to hadn't even heard of that rule before. So
yeah, right. Yeah, because
it was news at the time.
Because I know...
It took 3 days.
Yeah, it still... Look, I played it not too long ago and it took hours and everyone gave up.
It takes a long time.
But
If you do under the rules we understand them as...
Yeah, well, I think you see, once a player starts going out, then he's allowed to negotiate in any particular real way, really. And then you start negotiating. He's got to mortgage his house, his hotel, his houses, and his property back, or sell the houses and mortgage the property back to the bank. And like, it can just go on. It just goes on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You need to hire your own lawyer.
Oh, I know, yeah. And then have a pair of boxing gloves in the cupboard.
Yeah, your own conveyancing.
Now, what's the story? What's the interest in Monopoly, Stuart?
Yeah, well, I've had a million versions, of course. I've had, you know, like the Star Wars edition, the Doctor Who edition, and there was even an AC/DC edition, apparently, of nice. Monopoly. But this one is completely different. This is a new one called the Ultimate Banking Edition, where they do away with the money. So there's no paper money anymore.
Right.
So what they have instead is all the players have like a debit card.
And
you've got this little electronic device that is like the ATM, essentially.
Yeah.
So when you go and buy a property, you go and scan the property on this device and then scan your debit card. And if you've got enough money, then you buy it.
That's wild. That's great.
And, which is probably the biggest change that they've had in Monopoly, I think, for years.
So I wonder if that's going to push the price of it up, though. It probably would.
I'd say so.
But that's unreal. That's awesome.
I think the story was from America, but they were saying it'll hit the store shelves later this summer for $25.
What?
So that's what it says in the article. So it's
what, $25 per player?
US.
Yeah. 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 There's a real there's a say,
yeah.
there's What's a, it called? That, Banker Edition. That's banker with a B, right? Not a.
It's Ultimate Banking Edition.
Right. They didn't tell you though. In the fine print, there's a little there's a little exchange fee on every transaction.
Yeah,
Wi-Fi's back to him through PayPal, of course. Oh, look, Eric's excited. He's got one. He's ordering one. He's putting one.
They'll bring out a version where you can use Bitcoin next.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say, Shane. The Bitcoin version.
Yeah, that'd be all right. Oh, look, I like Monopoly. It's one of the better games that I've been playing.
I don't mind Monopoly, especially if it's. We do it on the big screen with Xbox with the controllers. Everyone gets a controller.
Yeah, right.
And you can just buy things, click, 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 pay for that, you know, buy this, auction that, or bid for that.
Mm.
So it's pretty quick.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's good. I got the Doctor Who edition. That was good.
Yeah, what a surprise.
Yeah, it was good. Shane, what do you think of Monopoly? Do you play Monopoly over there? Do you get Monopoly in Perth?
Yeah, it came in just after electricity was invented for us. Yeah, you know, about
1898 by Tesla.
Well, a couple of years before the iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right. We're
a bit
right.
late to the game, but, you know.
Eventually.
Around 2000.
You get there eventually. Good on yous. Good on yous. Yeah. You got a new toy.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you want me to do that? Yeah, it's not an official story, but basically I went and bought myself in preparation for the NBN. And again, I'm probably a bit late to the game.
Are you getting the NBN? Is this for real? Are you? You're definitely getting it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got the box out on the side of the house, and
oh, it's already in the side of the house.
Yeah.
So you're just waiting for the guy to ruin your gyprock.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for them to make the area active, which is apparently happening anywhere between the 2nd of March and the 18th of March, depending on who you talk to.
What suburb are you in?
It's a suburb of Mandurah called Dudley Park.
Who?
Dudley Park.
Dudley Park, okay.
There was a Facebook post of someone who got the NBN installed, and they put it, like Will, botch job on the side of the house, but they put the box, the NBN box, on the side of the house, but right near her water tap. She couldn't turn the tap off or on.
Oh, that's smart.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah, so what did you buy, Shane?
Yeah, it's just a 1 gigabit switch. But I went down to, I think I ended up going to Austin Computers. I don't know if that's a national company or not.
How many computers are you going to stick into that thing? 24.
Yes, well, I went down there with the intent of just getting an 8-port switch.
No.
I didn't have any in stock.
They upsold you to 24.
Well, this one's actually cheaper. This one was only 145, and it's 24-port, and it does VLANing. And the other equivalent one, or nearly equivalent, was only an 8-port.
Yeah.
And no, it was only a 16-port, and it was 169 or something, and that was a Netgear. So this one's a TP-Link.
Oh, yeah, don't touch Netgear. That's rubbish.
Well, the TP-Link, that one was cheap because it's got the Chinese spies in it.
Yeah,
that's the one. It's got the they're all hiding in there with their little suits on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that's concerned me about this is the firmware in it is 2013, and according to the TP-Link webpage, that's the only version of the firmware that ever came out.
Right. Okay. Right. So, no, so
well, look, I guarantee you it'll still work a treat.
Did you buy this in preparation for the NBN? Are you going to buy 23 computers or something?
No. Well, the ports were just a byproduct. Like I said, I was quite happy to get an 8-port one, but I thought,
right,
well,
yeah,
for the next $10 or something, I might as well get 24. Well, but what I really wanted was the VLANing capability, so I could then properly separate, you know, mine stuff with the rest of the tribe stuff, especially given the current domestic situation. And, you know, I also have a guest network, and then I want to get some surveillance cameras as well, especially because of the current domestic situation.
Oh, jeez.
And I wanted to separate those as well. Yeah,
well,
I mean, get
some baseball bats. Get some baseball bats while you're there.
But just thinking about attaching all that technology just makes me tired. I want to go to bed now.
Yeah.
Completely exhausting thinking about all of that.
Yeah, look, I've got a little 8-port. I've got a Netgear 8-port. That's all right. It runs really good. It's in that nice heavy aluminium, Eric. It's a real nice.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, there's.
Well, you can't get any geeker than me when I got the whole every bedroom and every room in the house wired.
Yeah, Cat 6
Ethernet ports in every port in every wall in the house.
Yeah, you love it though.
So that's pretty geeky. That's as geeky as I'll get.
Yeah, yeah. Now, good news for everyone who uses Skype. There's, you know, it doesn't work at the best of times, so they're going to expand it.
So they're going to make it work even better.
So they're going to turn the switch for Skype group videos. Now, Skype has announced that the rollout of group video calling on the iPhone, iPad and Android phones start today in Western Europe and North America. It'll eventually get out to here, so don't stress. It's up to 25 people can participate in the call. So that's going to put a few strains on the old Microsoft servers, apparently.
Yeah, that's why it won't work.
Microsoft will, in fact, be working with Intel to enable the company's Silk Audio Codec to work with Azure cloud servers powered by Intel processors. So Skype is also updating its chat invite feature, which lets users add people to group chats even if they aren't on the user's contact list. You can also apparently get into a chat if you're just using the Skype for the web. So it's been pretty stable tonight, this week, the Skype. It's been good.
Oh, you just jinxed it.
Probably. Lucky we nearly finished. Okay. Stuart, what did you have another story?
Yeah, let's have a look. I saw about the HTC Vive, which is the VR headset from HTC and Valve. So it was a combined project for them. That's going to come out in early April. At a cost of $800 US, so it's pretty expensive.
Mm.
It does come with various controllers and extra camera units and things like that. So there is a fair bit of tech with it as well. But it just goes to show how expensive this is.
Yeah.
This will be because you don't just need that. Then you need to have a fairly decent gaming PC, basically, that's powerful
enough
to run it.
Yeah. So if you haven't got a fast processor PC, it's pointless getting that headset.
Exactly. And it's not just the processor, but you need a fairly expensive graphics card as well.
Yeah, the graphics card, lots of RAM, everything.
The whole thing.
Water-cooled, possibly?
Well, I did have the original Oculus Rift when it came out.
Right.
Which I just got just to have a play around with and see all the various demos and things like that, and it was very impressive. You really had that sort of immersion feeling.
Mm.
Was very well done, but I hope that they've sorted out the motion sickness part of it, because I could get motion sickness within 5 minutes of a certain demo, and I would feel sick for the next 2 hours.
Oh, it was just, yeah, I
don't like that feeling.
No, it wasn't pleasant. But it's a very complicated thing, really, because it's not just about having a high enough resolution or frame rate. The whole thing about, you need to be in this sort of world and still feel like things are real, though. So if you look down, you should see your own sort of virtual body in the game that you're playing. Because if you don't see it, that is a weird sensation for your brain if you don't see yourself.
Yeah, you feel like you've got vertigo.
Yeah, and it's all those little things you don't really think about until you start to try and program these games, that there's a lot behind it.
Mm. Oh, they would
down and you saw like a woman's figure. That'd freak you out.
or a monkey or something. Davros or something. That'd be cool. You could do that then. You get you could be Davros. You could look down and see the chair and everything like that. That'd be cool.
It's actually better if you're playing a game where you're seated. So if you're playing a game where you're in a tank, for instance, well, that's perfect, because you'd be seated in your own chair anyway at home.
Hmm.
And so there's a direct translation to, you know, to the game that you're playing, and it all makes sense.
Yeah, it's cool. So what about the Microsoft one? You're interested in looking at that when it becomes available? The HoloLens?
Yeah, that looks really interesting, doesn't it? It's
it looks awesome.
It's pretty amazing. It'll be good to see if they actually pull it off.
Yes, yeah.
I reckon they will. Give them time.
Yeah, look, it'd probably be... It's hard. It's that good of a concept. It sounds like it's going to be near impossible, but, like, to build things in front of you, yeah. I suppose they can. They're doing some good stuff. Now, look, the last story for this week, we can have a chat about it, because I think both of you have got this story. It's about the Wi-Fi in Qantas.
Yeah, look, I'll go first, and then Stuart can go next, because he's got a good lead into this particular story, which I tend to agree with, actually. But I'll read the publicity blurb by Qantas, and then Stuart can read the reality blurb from someone who knows what they're talking about. Qantas passengers will soon be able to access free in-flight Wi-Fi, delivering internet that is as fast as broadband connections on the ground. The airline announced on Tuesday it would introduce a new service on the Boeing 737 this year, in a trial that will see the airplane fitted with modems and antenna that can tap into the national broadband network satellites. Okay, that's probably true. Bringing high-speed Wi-Fi to the domestic aviation market has been an ambition of ours for about 1,000 years. Yep, it's only 2016.
How's Joyce going, Eric? You changed your opinion?
Not a fan of Joycey.
Yeah, still not. He's done some good, but still no good.
We'll see. As an accountant, I get very skeptical with numbers, and the reason they've made released two profits in the last 6 months or 12 months, or whatever it is not because he's doing a good job. It's because he's pretty much raped the business and sacked everybody, and plus fuel prices have gone down a lot.
But then
he did 60%, 60-7%. So he's not making money because he's running a better company. He's making money because his variable costs have gone down. As soon as they go up again, and if he doesn't change the structural faults within Qantas, he will lose money again.
I think he did come out and flag that the lower fuel prices helped him, though.
Oh, yeah. So, but you won't give the fuel prices the whole credit.
Probably not. That was him.
Why would he? Because then he can't give himself a $5 million pay rise.
It was his little leprechaun ways that did it.
Yeah, I know. Lucky little leprechaun. But anyway, it goes on to say here, they reckon I'll get 25 megabits on this connection in the plane. It's going to be free for a period, and they'll probably slug you, I'm assuming. I don't know how much yet, if they'll slug you at all. And that leads into Stuart's story, which basically someone says that what they're saying is not possible.
Well, that's right, yeah. Well, they're saying, experts are saying that Qantas will struggle to deliver on the high-speed Wi-Fi promise.
I believe them.
Yeah, they're saying that Qantas is aiming for speeds of 12 to 20 megabits per second per passenger. which sounds very optimistic to me. And it's not only that. It sounds like if they're flying over rural areas where they're tapping into satellites, that they're actually taking away bandwidth from the people out there who actually need it.
Because everyone on a plane is going to be streaming Netflix.
Well, yeah, that's right.
And if I have trouble streaming Netflix at home from cable in the prime time evening, how can they possibly get it working in a plane?
Unless they're going to tap into a dedicated satellite a portion of it has been allocated just to them, or airlines generally, that might work, that aspect of it, but 25 megabits, or let's say 10 for argument's sake, per passenger. Now, some of these A380s have got 400 people on board.
Yeah.
Right? 10 megabits down, and if they're just checking emails and whatnot and blah, 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 you won't notice the degradation in speed. But if they all start to open their iPads and start saying, what's on Netflix? Then you'll notice a speed degradation. I don't know whether they can put something on their plane that sort of bridges connections, that gives them a faster throughput. I don't know. I'm not that technically oriented in that regard. Or they're just going to start hiring more satellite space, like the mobile phone towers. You know, maybe when they get full, you've got to build another one or increase the capacity of the existing one. So maybe they might have to start doing that a lot sooner than they realize, or build a redundant one or immediately to have a failover situation.
Maybe just a really long coax out the back.
Or a tin can and some string.
Yeah, but I want to pick up something on what Stuart said. So you're on cable, 100 down, 2.5 up, and you can't get Netflix through weeknights.
Sometimes that's the case, yeah. Yeah, it's a bit variable sometimes, which is which I find amazing.
Yeah,
that's because everyone on your street's on cable.
Yeah, that's right, and they're all and they're also all on Netflix too at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. And if they're all on Telstra, see, the beauty about my street is that it's a mixture of Optus cable and Telstra.
Mm.
So my speeds are always quite consistent.
Yeah, we can see, like, just as we started talking about it, your Skype video froze a little bit and came back. You're all good now, but it's just, so there must be people on the Netflix tonight. Well, there probably would be late night shopping, and, there you go, that's what happens. You keep turning blue.
Yeah, it's weird, but, that's the only problem with cable, because it's a shared bandwidth, whereas the NBN, if you get it in eventually, is like ADSL, I suppose. It's not... You're not really sharing. You're only sharing what's in the node rather than what's in the whole street.
So does that mean when us cable customers get this hybrid, this HFC business, that it's still going to be a shared situation?
Yeah, it will. But are you going to care if they're saying, we're going to up you to 1 gigabit?
No, not if they do that.
But it's shared?
No.
I know, look,
as long as they do it.
I know the old biddy next door, Joy, she's probably still on typewriter, so she doesn't care. Right?
No.
So I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
And the house on the other side... Well, that's just been knocked down because they're building two homes on it, on the place. So I got no neighbours that use internet.
You want to go pour some diesel into their pit, their internet pit.
Yeah, I'll do that across the road.
Yeah, and poor old Joy next door, she keeps coming over and says, Eric, what do you think about the Netflix?
Can I borrow a cup of bandwidth?
Yeah, she goes, I might get on Netflix. What do you think? No, don't do that.
Just go to adult channel on Foxtel Love. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing coming through the cable. Foxtel.
Oh, everyone's on Foxtel here. Bloody hell.
Everyone. All right. Well, I think that might be all of our stories. We had a nice little picture. Who had that picture? Black and white picture of people.
Did you quickly want me to do my Nokia one, or did you want to leave?
All right. No, you can do that. Let's go. Nokia.
All right, Nokia, we're in no rush to get our brand back on phones. Nokia could be returning to the phone market after selling its mobile division to Microsoft in 2013 for $7.2 billion. There is a clause in the sales contract that could allow it to use the Nokia brand on handsets again starting from this year. Last summer, Nokia told a German magazine it intends to find a licensing partner design and build phones this year.
Well,
that's strange because Microsoft just paid $10 billion Australian dollars for for that company, and only for it to be 3 or 4 years later for Nokia to start building phones again. So what do they pay for?
Mm. Oh, my dad, I was talking to my dad the other day, and he goes, oh, guess what I bought? I said, what? He goes, you remember those old mobile phones that came in like the big brick leather case? He says, he goes, I bought one. And I'm going,
it's a collector's item, what do you use?
Yeah, I'm just going, why would you buy one? I'm going, why did you buy one? Like, I know you had one 20 years ago. Why did you buy one today? It's not going to work, you know. And he goes, no, I just wanted the case. I wanted the leather case.
Your old man needs to be checked into a facility.
Post-haste.
Post-haste, exactly. Yesterday.
Now, you can listen to us and a lot of other little tech shows from Australia and New Zealand on the AussieTechRadio.com, and you can tune in with the TuneIn Radio app. That's just about everywhere. iPhone, Android, Windows 10, just about everywhere. Dial it up, TuneIn Radio app, and start searching for Aussie Tech Radio. You'll find it. And also look for us at facebook.com/AussieTechHeads and youtube.com/AussieTechHeads. And you can follow a couple of news stories, the news feed on Twitter at Aussie Tech News, or the show at Aussie Tech Heads, and with a hashtag of Oz Tech Heads. How's that? AUS Tech Heads. All right. Now, thanks for coming in, everybody. And Stuart, what you on Facebook and all this sort of stuff? You do Facebook, Twitters, Instagrams?
Oh, I'm not that much, Glenn, to be honest. No.
No? Yeah, I'm not a big Twitterer. Not a big,
Twitter fan, no.
it's just all crazy people on Twitter, isn't it? but look.
Oh, don't get me started on the types that are on Twitter.
Are you on Twitter? You got a Twitter account, Eric?
Yes. I don't use it, though. I just scroll down and watch all the lefties going crazy over some faux problem that they think they're solving.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good stuff.
Just to use it, just to see what's currently trending. What's
what are the crazy people talking about?
What are we going to get annoyed about today? Haven't got anything on.
What am I going to be outraged about? Yeah. What am I going to say to seem like I'm doing something?
All right. So that's great. So that's about the end of the show. Thanks, Stuart, for coming on. I hope you had fun.
Thanks for having me. Thanks very much, guys.
No worries at all.
Thanks, Stewie. Come back anytime.
No worries.
And thanks, Shane. Thanks for coming in and giving us your couple of stories and letting us know that you bought a 24-port Switch.
Yeah, no, send someone to the moon.
Which you're only going to use two.
I mean, that wasn't actually supposed to be an official story. It was just supposed to be an anecdotal thing, but no, that's fine.
Make sure you sticky tape up the other 22 ports that you're not using, and then as the ports wear out, you can unsticky tape them, and they'll be just like new.
I've got about 8 things plugged into it already.
Oh, all right. Okay, cool. Is there anything on the other end of them? Or just this little... Just leads coming out. Just say,
yeah. Well, now the cable comes out of like port 4 and then goes in back into port 12 and just does that.
You've looped it or you've put them into another router just so you can get the lights flashing.
Makes it look good. Being used. Capacity.
All right, and Eric, thanks for coming in. Good to see
you. Welcome.
We'll see you again next week. If you want to contact anyone, Glenn, Eric, Shane, and Stuart, it'll come to me and I'll forward it on to him. All right. Now, good stuff. All right. Thanks for everyone and have a good week. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
See you all.
Bye.
Aussie TechEd is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie TechEd or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.